how many songs did the Levites sing at the dedication of the temple that Solomon built? One.
For the Lord is good,
for his mercy endures forever.
That's it.
You've been rehearsing for 14 years of rehearsal and we come and do one. So it's not the volume of songs, it's when God shows up.
Yeah, absolutely.
When God shows up, he can do in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Right? What, you know, 30 minutes without him, an hour without him would achieve.
And excellence at the end of the day could also be an idol.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we want to do good, but then slowly.
Then you make yourself feel good.
Yeah, you are not the center of the attention, right? Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dappy T. Keys. Welcome to another episode of the Worship Well podcast. Like I said in my last episode, I'm still currently in Nigeria. I'm right now in Lagos, Nigeria, and I have another amazing guest with me today to talk all things worship, the worship ministry, being a worship leader, going to the depth of things. You know, I believe so much in foundation and making sure we have a solid foundation to build on. And this man, I've never met him. we've kind of chatted back and forth on Instagram, and I just told him, hey, I'm going to be in Lagos. Would you mind? And he graciously said yes, but it's someone I respect. I believe there's so much that we can gain from this conversation. So grab your coffee, grab your notepad, whatever you got to do, and make sure you give your full attention for the next couple of minutes while we just have a chat about it. So would you please join me to welcome my guest today, Minister Olumide Eyun. Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for saying yes to come on. Like I said, we have never met in person, and you know, I'm just grateful that you would say yes, because it just tells me you're a man of faith, because you just said yes to this guy you've never met. I'm like, you don't even know what this guy's gonna chat about, but you just said I'm gonna be there.
I had to say yes. So many years ago, I used to play. Almost, I think that was really what I did for many years. Yeah. I just played on the keyboards. And I heard your music, I heard your sound. I said, I know that sound. I know how you can get that sound.
Praise God.
And, you know, I recognized it in spirit. And I said, look, this, I know him. I don't need any introduction. I don't need anyone to vouch for this gentleman. I know who he is. So,
Yeah, I actually remember when you sent me an Instagram message. It's like, which of your music can I use for prayer?
Yeah.
Specifically, like, which of them? I know you have a lot. And but thank you. That means a lot to me. And so now that we have you here, I'm excited about this conversation. But just before we jump right in, for those who don't know who you are, would you please do us the honor and tell us, who is Olumide Eyun?
Well, I'm a worship leader. I've been a worship leader for gosh, let's not go that far back. For a few years, I've recorded 9 albums.
Oh, wow.
I've been a producer. I worked in advertising for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've been sort of going between leading worship, writing songs, and teaching worship, and that sort of thing. So that's, you know, to an extent where I am. I had the privilege of writing a song that I didn't know would go like it went, Unlimited God. I had no idea or any desire for it to go any. In fact, a friend of mine told me, oh, Olumide, it's doing this well. And I said, I didn't know. I didn't follow after it. Mm-hmm. But God has just given us the grace to write and co-write. To a degree that it has touched the body of Christ, particularly in Nigeria, and to my surprise across Nigerian communities and some other places. So it's been a privilege to do what I do.
And we're still gonna get to the songwriting part, because I know that there's a way that God has gifted you to write songs that really vertical, they point to him, they draw people to him. And I know Unlimited God is one of those songs as well, because it was a blessing to me for many years as well. So we're gonna get to that, because I really want to hear how you do that,
right?
How God has helped you to do that, because I know there are a lot of people out there who are stepping into that, you know, that region or that space of writing songs, and they might benefit from that knowledge that you carry to be able to help them on that journey. But before we get to that, I want to, obviously, we're here to talk all things worship. And I know people have different definition to worship, and worship has meant a lot of different things to different people over the years. And sometimes I can even go as far as saying that sometimes people don't have the right understanding of what worship is and how we ought to worship God. So right. Would you please, in your own words, what does worship mean to you, and how do you think God expects us to worship Him?
Well, you know, there's a principle called the law of first mentions.
Yeah.
Where you find it first in Scripture, it sort of gives you an idea of the foundations and principles mm-hmm. surrounding the concept or the particular principle. And we know from the Scriptures that the first time we hear the word worship in the Scriptures, which by no means was the first time that worship took place, but this was the time when Abraham had been asked to sacrifice his only son. Mm-hmm. And he was able to, you know, go on an immediate journey first thing in the morning, yes. 3 days into the terrain wherever it was that he was sent to. Mm-hmm. And when he got to the place that he was supposed to worship or to offer this man up, Abraham says to the other servants that were with him, says, look, you guys stay here, and I and the lad will go and worship. Mm-hmm. And you question the fact that there are no musicians there, yeah. Then there's nothing there. This was an act of surrender, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. to the point of death.
Yes, yes.
Right, so the first experience we have of what worship is, there is a sacrifice and there's death mm-hmm. in that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so it is also a response to something God asked for. You know, yes. The Bible says, give unto the Lord, all ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Mm-hmm. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Yes. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness.
Yes, yes.
So it appears that there's something given that needs to take place before mm-hmm. you can worship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The word strength there is the same word that's in, I think, Psalm 8, where it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength.
Yes.
But the translation, or the particular translation for that word strength, is actually the word praise. Jesus referred to it when he was coming into Jerusalem, and the children put out palm fronds and mm-hmm, everything, and mm-hmm. were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus then says, you know, in response to the, I think the Pharisees, they said that, hey, you need to mm-hmm. stop these kids. Jesus then says, have you not heard that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained praise?
Yes.
Right. And that's the same word that's in, give unto the Lord glory and strength, right? So that was translated praise. So if we could also say, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and praise, give unto the Lord the glory due his name, mm-hmm. right? And when you say something is due, there are two connotations. One is that it belongs to someone and there's a time frame. Mm, you know?
Mm. Yeah, 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 that's true.
So
yeah.
When you say glory and praise, third thing about it is that if God says to give it, it means you've got it.
Right.
Right. It's in your pocket somewhere.
Yes,
it's in your bank account somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. It's in some storehouse mm-hmm. that you have glory and you have praise that mm-hmm. belongs to God, and mm-hmm. God wants it at a period of time, at a particular time.
Yeah.
And so it says, give me this, mm-hmm. then you can worship in the beauty of holiness. You can, you could say that you can worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes, yes.
You can worship as you ought to. And mm-hmm. this needs to happen first. Mm-hmm. And so there is a giving, and giving is a form of death. In the mm-hmm. first place, we see mm-hmm. Abraham giving his son.
Mm, yes.
Right. And so there is a form of cutting away of the flesh.
Yes.
As a giving what is most important.
Yes.
And essentially, you know, being able to show God mm-hmm. that I love you and I fear you.
Yes, yes.
God says in response, now I know that you fear me.
Yes, right? Yes.
So there seems to be a place in God that God's not going to have anyone compete with him. Mm-hmm. I like how Don Moen says it. He says, worship begins when God begins to speak. Mm. You know, it was your done.
Let me talk, let me do what I can do.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, worship, you know, isn't even the singing of the songs, right? Although that's part of the whole process. When the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman, she didn't say what musical instruments should we play, what keys should we, what kind of songs we should sing. No. So when they refer to worship, they're talking about the whole process of ministering unto God, accept and being acceptable to Him, and having your sacrifices received of Him.
Yes.
Because the conversation then was, our fathers say that we should worship on this mountain.
Yes.
You guys say we should worship in Jerusalem. All right. And so what is it? This is a woman that had five husbands and was living with a sixth. And she needed to be sure that what she was giving was going to see her through. I mean, you know, you need a lot of forgiveness.
You need
something. You need help here. And Jesus said, look, we know what we worship. You guys don't, right? We have the body of knowledge about acceptable worship unto God. Right? But then Jesus says that, but the truth is, the hour cometh now is where, you know, you neither worship God on this mountain, which is Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem, but you will worship God in another location, which is in the spirit realm. So true worship happens in the spirit. You know, and so, you know, when they were talking about worship, it was the whole connotation, or the connotation was the whole process of being an offering unto God, acceptable sacrifices, you know, and we'll see it also in Romans 12 we're talking earlier, where he says, this is your reasonable service, and the Amplified puts it as your spiritual worship.
Act of worship,
When you offer your body as a living sacrifice. So that is the posture
of worship
that I follow after. So I'm not as big, even though I have been a worship leader for since 1993, thereabouts. Even though I've been a musician for about the same amount of time, although I learned how to play the keys as a kid, but I actively began to play in church in 1993, right? Is what people refer to as worship and the songs and all of that. It's a subset of it, right? Because you can replicate that. I once recently was checking on a song I wasn't very comfortable with. I don't know why. But it was supposed to be a praise and worship song, and I wasn't very comfortable. Something just kept ticking me off about it. And whilst I began it, I said, look, let's check who wrote the song. I found three unbelievers wrote the song.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a gospel song. So, you know, you can pick up these things after a while. So it can't, for me, be about the praise and worship. It has to be the whole process of living your life, how you live. You know, the whole thing will constitute an acceptable worship. I know today we're big on the music, we're big on the word, on the songs, we're big on the words, the instrumentation. It's it's never been this good as it were, you know, but I think it's a subset, and that part is only acceptable if the other parts of your life are really acceptable.
I think that's absolutely.
So that's for me what worship.
No, and I think you've said a lot in just that answer, because it's going beyond, beyond all the other things that we attribute worship to, and really paying attention to the life that we live. Because I do tell people that God does not accept every worship, because the worshiper has to be first acceptable to God first before the worship.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus said, that God is seeking for true worshipers first. Who would not worship Him? So it wasn't say God is seeking for a worship first.
Yeah.
It was a true worshiper first.
For the people,
and placing the emphasis on that. And even as a worship pastor and leader, I always tell people that even when people want to join the worship team, or they want to sing on the team, or they want to play, where do you place your priority? Do you place your priority on the skill and the, you know, how good they are? Or do you place your priority on their walk with God? Do they have a relationship with God, a growing relationship? Are they part of a local community? Because that tells me you value the life of the worshiper more than the gift of the worshiper.
That's correct.
Right. And because, like you said, you quoted Domwe and said that worship begins when God speaks. So, but not all worship leads to that point when God actually speaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we are the ones just doing the talking.
Yeah. Yeah. And perhaps we don't even have the time.
Yeah, because we're constrained with time as well, right? Because everything is kind of regulated. Like, you know, it's almost like, and I've often seen that also in the worship service, usually when they're looking for where to cut time.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
The worship is where they think, okay, we can cut five minutes here.
Yeah,
everything else, they will find a way to, but when it's like, okay, we need to cut down the time, we need to do, they come to, can you reduce your set?
Yeah.
You
have 12 minutes now.
And so, how can you even do anything with that? I guess virtually we're still in the after court. We've not even. Yeah. So, and I think maybe you can speak to that, though. What level of importance and priority should we place to corporate worship in our services?
When it comes to the corporate expression of praise and worship, mm-hmm. it's tricky. We've had explosions of people coming to the church. Mm-hmm. You know, when you had 150 people coming and you had one service, and you could do 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you have those years. You do a full 30 minutes, maybe even longer, just depending on how, because mm-hmm. you just knew you were there from maybe 9 to 12 at mm-hmm. the time, mm-hmm. or from 8 to 11, 11:30, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you could just really minister to the Lord, mm-hmm. maybe even more than once in the mm-hmm, service. Mm-hmm. But when you're faced with 2 to 3,000 people, even 700 and some people, and your facility cannot take 300 or take 500, then you start having multiple services. And you still have that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to reduce, because, okay, maybe we can do something at 7, mm-hmm. can start at 7 and run till 9:30, and then 9 mm-hmm. to, you know. And years ago, the church I attended, the first service was at 8, second service was at 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would do first service was at 9
okay.
in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would do 9 to 12, or 9 to 11:30, thereabouts. I'd take a break, go get a drink, you know, mm-hmm. get something to eat, and then come for the second service. You start at 12 and mm-hmm. run to about 2. Mm-hmm. On occasion, mm-hmm. that 2 o'clock had stretched to 4, and at one point I got to school at 6 p.m. because the move of God was something else.
Wow.
Well, that was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a lot tighter now, a lot more. There are a lot more people. Now you have free services. There were the space issues, parking issues. The environment isn't quite as innocent as it was. People are a bit more desperate today than they were before, because the poverty index. So you have all kinds of things going on, all kinds of external factors
mm-hmm.
that make you want to make sure the people come in and they go. And then people actually began to complain that the services are running too long. You know, before they used to be fine with listening mm-hmm. to the word for 90 minutes. Now, man, just give us 30, 45 minutes, mm-hmm, 50 mm-hmm, minutes, mm-hmm. 1 hour. That's it, man. You're pushing it.
Yeah, that one is too.
And, you know, so all these things began to happen. And so how do we handle mm-hmm. going from 3 hour services to 75 minute services, mm-hmm, 80 mm-hmm. minute services? You want to make sure some things that were as it were important before, could they be done at other times? Could you do so? The transition of it has actually made us have maybe from 30 minutes to 20 minutes to 15 minutes. And in some cases, I know a place that's gone to 7 minutes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? Because they're keeping mm-hmm. everything under an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you handle worship? It's not impossible to have a meaningful time of worship with
mm-hmm,
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It may just not be as engaging as you're used to.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bible says that when you are come together, Each one has a song, a revelation, a doctrine, this and that. Let everything be done decently in order, right? I believe that if the church brought their worship to church, in other words, they on their way spend the time to ask the Lord for something, a sound, a song, a sound, a word, a revelation, towards them, they pray towards the service, right? And not just the church workers, but everyone sort of developed a desire to minister to other, a love for other people.
Yeah.
That made you say, Lord, I don't know who I'm going to meet in church today. But Lord, I want my tongue to be under your control. I want you to give me a word for someone. I want you to direct me, lead me. Give me a song. Give me a psalm. Give me a revelation. Give me a doctrine. Give me something. Just like it's written in 1 Corinthians, I think, is it 12 or between 12 and 14? I think it's 12, right? And if you come bearing something, the atmosphere will be different.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right, yeah. Because people came prayed up. People invested time in the service. So that when you come, if the guys lifted one song, the worship team didn't go about saying, we want to get through 25 word songs in this 15-minute period. If they came here and said, look, we're going to focus on four or five, and we're going to do them well, and we're going to push, and we're just going to follow after what the Spirit is directing, I think the combined push in that direction would make our 15 minutes even more
effective
than what we have now. What we have now feels like we're doing a show, a concert, we're just performing. Right, well, if people came and the worship team themselves came and they came prayed up, they came prepared, and it's not about their rehearsal the day before. I often say the rehearsal is so that you guys can sound as one, but God can change everything you've done,
of course,
overnight. But you know, if it changes, many times the band was like, we spent 3 hours getting that right, you know, and you know, being able to put your gifts and your set list and put that under the direction of the Spirit and say, Lord, this is you prepared this, but you know, we're fine to go in whatever direction you want. You know, and thus really surrender and really spend time, not just praying about that session, but praying about the people coming. You find that the people have prayed about everyone else. The musicians have prayed. The pastors are always interceding for the services. When you come in there and raise one song, it's very possible that that one song might be all that you need. How many songs did the Levites sing at the dedication of the temple that Solomon built? One.
For the Lord is good, for his mercy and just forever. That's it.
You've been rehearsing for 14 years of rehearsal and we come and do one. What are you saying? I was born and I became a teenager and I just joined the choir last week. And then we're just going to do one song?
No way.
I've been hearing this song since I was three. You know, so the key thing for me is, it's not the volume of songs, it's when God shows up.
Yeah, absolutely.
When God shows up, he can do in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Right? What you know, 30 minutes without him, an hour without him would achieve and all that. So if he shows up in the room to the intensity and in response to the prayer, the passion that people have prayed with and all of that, it made effectual fervent prayer.
Absolutely.
And power is available and, you know, the power of God is present to heal.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
15 minutes might be amazing. Yeah.
No, and I think what we have to, I think as worship leaders and worship ministers, I think we have to understand that part of what we do also involves discipling the church and how to worship, in worship, right? So that they can actually do this on their own.
On their own, yes.
Like you said, so they can come to church worshiping. No, way to get to church so that somebody can lead me to worship.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and so having that mindset also helps us now we prepare our set list, how we prepare, how we pray, the kind of preaching we do, the kind of songs we sing, because our goal is to disciple them. It's to create a culture of worship that is beyond the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
So that when they're at their jobs and their schools, they can carry that with them and take that home with them.
Yeah.
So that next time we gather together, they actually come ready to worship because they've been taught and trained and discipled on how to worship and what worship is really about.
That's
so it's not the time for us to show off.
Yeah.
To say, you know, yeah, let's just show you what we've been cooking.
Yeah.
Let's display it to you. It's really teaching, taking that moment to teach the church.
Yeah.
The same way the pastor would come and teach and preach and share something. It's almost like we also have to understand our role and assignment. And I tell people that the worship leaders, the singers, we actually form the theology of the people more than the pastor.
You're right.
Because often they will forget what the pastor preached about.
But the songs will stay.
They will stick with them. Right? Ask somebody now. If you ask me what my pastor preached last, I can't remember. Unless I look at my notes.
Yeah.
But I can remember the songs that we sang. So I think worship leaders need to hone that we have a bigger responsibility just beyond, oh yeah, let's just maximize 15 minutes and just give them everything. Feel it, you know,
they'll never forget this. Yeah,
and then we forget that our primary assignment is to minister to the Lord first, but also to help others to do the same.
Yeah. The thing about what you're saying is, you know, I'm finding that in proportion to the excellence of the musicians and singers who are getting to the worship teams today, very, very talented, very gifted people. Where unfortunately begin to pander more to the expression of our skill more than we are to ministering unto him. And what that does many times is that you create a rock star kind of experience. So everybody's watching you and you're doing something amazing and we can't do what you're doing. Before you know what's going on, we're excited about your music and where our attention has been unfortunately hijacked,
right,
and we're watching you more than we are connecting with God. And if you were to check the indices, you'll find out that we are 20% aware that God is in the room. 80% are aware that, man, this band is just killing it, man. It's a balance that sort of needs to happen, especially where you have excellent musicians. And even if you don't have excellent musicians, their lack of excellence can actually also get people looking at them. These guys need help.
Because that could be a distraction.
That could
as well.
Also be a distraction. Yeah, yeah. And
excellence at the end of the day could also be an idol.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we want to do it good, but then slowly.
Then you make yourself feel good.
Yeah, you are not the center of the attention, right? Like you said, people, I think I heard someone say, I can't remember, I think it's John Piper, said that the goal in worship ministry is to have something called an undistracting excellence.
That
does not point to you, shift the attention to you. You're excellent because Bible said we should play skillfully. You know, worship the Lord with a new song.
Yeah.
Play skillfully, Psalm 33:3. And that's great. But it must be undistracting, that it cannot take the focus away from him and put it on you.
So here that gives us a situation. If your training or the way you have grown up, what you've seen online, what you've seen on TV and the concerts and the people you hung around have modeled to you that you do this and the attention comes towards you instead of going towards the Lord, it's many times difficult for you to come and lead without drawing attention to yourself. Not because you want to, but because that's how you've sort of been mentored.
Yeah.
So if at the end of the service, you are hearing praise to the man or the woman that led worship, after a while you start to want it.
Yeah.
You know, and if they say to you at the end of the day, oh man, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You feel that you've done it right.
Yeah.
Or if they come the same day, someone says to you, that was rubbish. Your whole system crashes because you've now built an expectation on the praise of men. You know, so we have to, like you said, it has got to be an undistracting excellence that doesn't call attention to itself, right? Because music has that ability.
Absolutely, yeah.
To seize the mind, to control the narrative. So if musicians are not under the control of the Spirit, right? If the singers are not under the control of the Spirit, they are going to leave that place not realizing that they have a lot of pride and their self-esteem is hanging on how they are received by people.
Yes.
Whether it's just people in the congregation mm-hmm. or it's their leaders, mm-hmm. you know, and if the people in the congregation were to come and say, oh, that was amazing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed that session. And the pastors come and say to you, you guys were in the flesh. Then the possible.
Whose
report? That at some point you're going to say that those guys don't get it, yeah, you know, these pastors, and then causes some sort of problem between the worship team and the leaders.
I'm
really trying to tell you, you guys missed the mark. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the people loved it.
Yeah.
So it's something to watch out for as absolutely. A music minister.
Yeah. So I want to switch because I know you mentioned mentorship and the rest of it. How important is accountability and mentorship? Because I know that, you know, I'm part of this generation that you think all you need is skill. I'm good at what I do. You know, yeah. I'm the best of the best in this, you know, in this industry or whatever you want to call it. But how important is being accountable, being submitted to authority, and also just having someone that, you know, like a mentor that's guiding you. You know, that they can tell you to sit down and you will sit down.
Yeah.
They can rebuke you if they needed to. They can correct you. How important is it? Because I feel like that's probably something that is slowly slipping away in my generation anyway. It's like we just feel like we're our own boss. Like, you know, I do my thing. No, nobody can tell me. And then once somebody try to correct you, you feel like, oh, yeah, they're just against me or they don't get it. So what would you say to my generation about that?
Well, so... it is important to know that you're first and foremost a believer. Mm. And what applies to all believers applies to you. In other words, you're expected to pray. Mm-hmm. You're expected to have a relationship with God and with His Word. You're expected to have a relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. You're expected to have the two dimensions that Paul kept mentioning, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, in different places. He'll say that when I heard of your faith towards God and your love for the people, right? Mm-hmm. And so you keep seeing that those are two foundational things.
Yeah.
Faith towards God, mm-hmm. and that comes by the word of God that's been read and been heard. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That comes from prayer. That comes mm-hmm. from times of devotion and worship.
Absolutely.
And praise.
Yes, yes.
Right? Faith towards God. Mm-hmm. Manifesting itself in acts of kindness and goodness and love towards people.
Yes, sir.
That's, I think, James. Was the one that said, I'll show you my faith by my works.
Yes,
and the
yes.
works he was referring to is my acts of love and kindness.
Yes, yes.
And so he would say, when I heard of your faith towards the Lord Jesus and the love for the saints, I cease not to give thanks, making mention for you in my mm-hmm. prayers that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. So the point is, first of all, you're a Christian.
Yes.
Right, before you're a musician in that sense, the mm-hmm. core of what we're doing, or all of this, is to know Him mm-hmm. and to know His power and to know His resources mm-hmm. for us to be able to do the work that mm-hmm. we're supposed to do. The fivefold ministry, as we call mm-hmm. it, their job is to train and to mm-hmm. instruct and to equip. Mm-hmm. So that we can do the work of the ministry till we all come to the knowledge, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. There's a growth that needs to happen, mm-hmm. and every believer is meant to be involved in that.
Yes.
That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. You've got to be someone that recognizes that for that to happen, God uses words.
Yes.
Whether it's words in prayer or mm-hmm. it's words in teaching, mm-hmm. already He uses words. That's how He created everything, mm-hmm. words. And so if you're not someone that will hear the word, that will be submitted under a pastor or a teacher of some sort, if you're not going to submit to that, then we already have a problem.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right. So the first thing you want to be sure about is that this generation, you know, has where they're hearing the word consistently. Mm-hmm. So that things are being built brick upon brick, mm-hmm. you know, and an edifice is being erected in your spirit.
Yes.
A revelation is being expounded upon.
Yes.
So that you're growing in faith. And that's, I think, the first thing we want to, we should be able to establish for anyone that wants to join the worship team, that this person has spent time personally and is seen also to be spending time in a corporate setting where in times of the ministry of the word and song and all of that, you know, that that person has to show themselves committed to that.
Yes.
You know, because that then shows that we're going in the same direction. And it's tough because today, because, you know, people are, people identify themselves now by their abilities, right, rather than by their true identity, which is I am a child of God.
Yes, yes.
You know, and a child of God, a child will eat, a child will grow. You're not going to grow by the music. The music is an expression, right, of who you are, the grace that God has given to you, but you grow by the word, you grow by the spirit, you grow by the acts that you do, things you begin to do, the sacrifices, the consecrations. You need to be a Christian first.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Rather than a singer who's sort of, you know, trying to find their way. So it is important. So when you say accountability, I'm reading it to be, you need a pastor, you need a leader, you need someone that that's teaching, that's instructing, where you are feeding from on a consistent level, consistent basis. And that would help, you know, for us to know that this person is serious about their walk with God.
Yes, yes.
You know, rather than serious about showing their musical abilities.
Yes, yes, you know?
You know, it's very possible. I mean, David, we talk about David all the time, but David was not a Levite.
No, it wasn't, no.
Yeah, but he could play music, right? So you may be able to play music and not be in the worship team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, how many people outside the Levites ministry were in the worship team? Very few. David was probably the only one. I know that the Bible tells us that Solomon also wrote thousands of songs, or hundreds of songs, right? So you can be outside of a worship team and still express yourself musically. But if you're going to be in a worship team of a church, you need to really spend time in the hearing what's going on, staying in the process, knowing what the church's emphasis, you know, leaning towards, understanding the particular kind of way the church wants to flow. Is the church an apostolic one? It's so outgoing, like an evangelist. It's always going. Is this a church that, you know, this is a pastoral one? It's just building people. You know, how, what's the push of this ministry? Yeah, yeah. And you stay there, so you learn the ethos of that ministry. You know, but behind us at core for all these things is a commitment, first of all, to the word of God and to prayer.
Absolutely, 100%.
You know, so it's important that we have some way of identifying that people are in fact growing by the word and by prayer, right? And that's where Bible studies and service, attending the service to hear the word, or being online to go at the word, and particularly maybe folk doing a bit more in Bible school and Sunday school, as it were, just going over the scriptures and teaching, you know, where those things come in to establish that person in the faith
before anything else
comes on. So it's important, that we have that level of accountability.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. And if I may just had, I would say musicians, singers, you need to be a part of a church community. I know sometimes we're just gigging all over the place, you know, today you are here, tomorrow you are there.
Yeah.
We don't really have a church that you're a part of. You know, that's like your family where you actually grow, you know. In every family, not everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Your siblings will annoy you, you know, they will step on your toes. Even your parents, you'll fight your parents. But that's what family, but guess what? That's what matures all of us. But if you're not within a family and you're just focused on going from here to there, you're just going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
You need a stable place where you actually call your home, your worship. You do things that the family do. When we're praying, you pray with the family. When they're studying the word, when they call the time of fasting, you are fasting. You know, it's not like you feel like, oh, I'm exempted from that. I don't do all that kind of stuff. I'm just here to play. I think that would really help in maturing us as people who serve. And that means also we prioritize and we value our walk with God over just working for God. Because you can just be doing stuff for God and not really be growing as a Christian. Right. But we don't need people who are just doing stuff for God. We need people who are actually growing and walking with God. Because that's actually God's priority. That's his preference. Jesus said that, the Bible said that Jesus called the 12 to himself to be with him.
To be with him.
Before he sends them out. So the goal first is to be with him. It's not let's go out. It's right. Come and be with me first. Let me make you, and then I will send you out to go do other things. So I think that's very important that we learn that we begin to live that way and not just focusing on, yeah, let me just do this, but really, am I growing? And you cannot grow without being submitted, being accountable, allowing yourself to be taught, to be led by leaders right. around you.
Yeah.
So as we close, I just have one last question. I'm going to wrap this up. And just maybe about 2-3 minutes, you can just, because I know there are probably people who look up to you out there. They've seen your work, they've seen what you do. But also, I know my generation is the generation that love everything quick, quick, fast, fast. But what would you say in about 1-3 minutes, like what would you say to someone that's growing up out there, an aspiring worship leader, worship minister, and maybe they're getting discouraged right now. They're growing impatient because they feel like this is not going as fast as I wanted it to go. And maybe they're even at the point of giving up. So what would your encouragement be for that kind of person?
Right. You know, it's hard for you to be discouraged when you're under the flow of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When the Spirit of God is doing powerful things inside of you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to pretty much anyone growing up in music, growing up in worship, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and your love for all the saints, I cease not to give thanks unto the Lord, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the power which he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and sat him at his right hand in glory. Now, I would say, spend time praying those prayers. Colossians chapter 1 says, you know, that he may fill you with the spirit of, fill you with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you'll be strengthened, you increase in his knowledge, you will be able to handle pressure, you'll be able to go through that. It takes time mm-hmm. and it takes prayer. Ask the Lord to fill you with knowledge, to fill you with his spirit, fill you with revelation of who he is,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when discouragement pops its head up, right, then you're able to say, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because God has shown you something. God mm-hmm. has put a picture in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you spend time, you know, praying and extended times of prayer, you will find out that God will begin to give you direction.
Mm-hmm.
He'll begin to give you comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Holy Ghost is. He will comfort your heart. He will energize you. He will motivate. You know, the word comfort today isn't the word comfort 17th century,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? The scholars that translated the scriptures had to look for the words that were closest in meaning or in thought to what they were reading in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, right? And so the word comforter back then isn't the word comfort. Nothing has to go wrong for you to receive comfort,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know? But back in the day, the comforter was the one that would get into the fight with you.
Yeah.
Right. It's like getting the best footballer
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, looking at in soccer, for instance, mm-hmm. you had Pelé and you mm-hmm. had Diego Maradona and mm-hmm. you had, you know, the two guys that everybody's raving about, Lionel Messi mm-hmm. and
Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo. And then
yeah.
come to your neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and you guys are 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds
mm-hmm.
playing against 13-14-year-olds, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. there's an age gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a skill gap. Then Ronaldo and Messi say they want to play on the team of the 7-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
That they are going to do the heavy lifting.
Of course.
Their level of skill is so high that the 13-year-olds will be completely intimidated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those guys have comforted the sevens.
Right.
Because what they've done is that they've gone into the fight. They have superior skill. They have superior endurance. They have superior knowledge. They're able to function at a level that these guys can function at. And that's mm-hmm. what it means to comfort, mm-hmm. to motivate, to mm-hmm. energize by mm-hmm. being in the fight with you.
Yes.
By being in the struggle and being in the walk with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you can get the spirit in on your side in that sense, he would bring comfort, he would strengthen you. And so I think it was a man of God that says that when we pray in our understanding, we pray miserably. I heard, I was like, oh
yeah,
my God. You know, so here's the thing. Spend time praying in the spirit.
Yes.
Spend time walking with the spirit. Take the scriptures, you know, and just read those scriptures to yourself.
Yes.
Pray those scriptures over yourself. Take the Psalms, read the Psalms over yourself and pray in the spirit.
Yes.
Read them out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want, put some worship music around, but more than your worship music, the word of God.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Being spoken, being said in worship and prayer in the spirit, you will find that God has not left you, that God is working inside of you,
mm-hmm.
something that will change your world, mm-hmm. that will change your circumstance. You will find out that God has a plan for you that's beyond, and you won't be distracted by what he's doing through other people, because that's tough sometimes.
That's tough,
You can see that, you know, Brother Smith mm-hmm. is doing powerful things and Sister Sharon is doing amazing. I said, God, what about me? God said, hey, this is my plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you may know the hope of his calling. That's the purpose of him calling you.
Amen.
So when he tells you who it is that you are and who you are to him and what he wants you to do, then you can focus. And you're not going to be looking. Listen, he's got so much for you to do that you will forget what everybody else is doing.
Yes.
You
yes.
have to come up for air. And it's like, oh, they did that. Oh, I didn't even know.
They did it. Yeah.
Right? Because what he has from you is for you to do is so powerful, it's so time consuming, mm-hmm. it's so complete that when you see somebody else walking in what they're doing, mm-hmm. you only appreciate the fact that God, you know, I see what you're doing and I appreciate it because I can see what you're doing in me.
Yes.
You know, and I can see how beautiful. I know why that guy's not taking my calls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He can't take my calls. They've been trying. I just realized that six people have been trying to call me for the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been able to take their calls, not because I don't want to take their calls, but I've been so wrapped up. I didn't realize I didn't call them back.
That's what you do. Yeah.
You know, you start to understand when you get deep in what God wants you to do. Don't be discouraged. You know, spend more time in prayer. Somebody will say, pray copiously in the spirit and you see what God will do.
Amen. Thank you so much.
God bless.
Minister Olumide, it's been such an honor to have you here. I know we were chatting before this. We just spent like an hour chatting. I know we could talk for the rest of the day. But no, we have limited time. But I'm so grateful that you would say yes to be here. And who knows, I might do this again next time I'm back in Lagos.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful because I believe there's so much that we can learn from you and from your journey, your experience. So thank you for doing this
with me.
I really appreciate it. And to everyone that's watching this, thank you for taking the time to watch it. I really hope you find it really helpful. You may want to watch this one again. There was a lot that was said, and I know you didn't take it all in, because I didn't take it all in, because there was so much. So make sure you watch it again as many times as you need to. Share it with your friends. You never know. This might be what they need as well. And follow, subscribe, do what you got to do. Get the message out. And until next time, keep growing, keep learning, and keep worshiping Jesus. And I'll see you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.